Kindred Spirit, copyright 2006 by John Passarella, all rights reserved. Prologue. Perhaps an impatient rustle of tree leaves in the quiet August night had awakened her. In the middle of the night, she imagined the flapping of her sister's red ribbon tied high in the tree. It had pulled Heather from what had been, since more than remembered, a pleasant dream. 10-year-old Heather Moore sat up in her bed and rubbed sleep crust from her eyes. She shared the bedroom with her twin sister Haley, but her own bed was closer to the window, thanks to the rock-paper-scissors contest that had finally settled the argument. Across the room, curled on her left side in a tangle of bedsheets, Haley slept, oblivious to whatever midnight mystery had awakened her older sister. Older by just 15 minutes, as Haley often protested. A momentary thrill coursed through Heather. If Haley was asleep, maybe Heather could finally. She looked out the window. An overcast and muggy night, unrelieved by a sluggish breeze. Yet the moon, hidden behind a smudge of clouds, cast an eerie glow across the long backyard. Heather's gaze drifted past the swing set to the tall oak tree at the edge of the yard, home of their tree castle. Tree forts were for boys. Then to its upper branches, where the swaying boughs revealed sporadic glimpses of a fluttering red ribbon. Haley's ribbon. Another glance at Haley's sleeping form. A voice inside Heather urged, "Do it now, before she wakes up." Heather glanced through the screen window again, and worried her lower lip before returning her gaze to Haley. "I'm always too nervous when she watches me, but sleeping, she'll be unaware. Then tomorrow will be my ribbon flying high." She climbed out of bed, padded across the room in her fuzzy slippers, and opened her top dresser drawer, finding her periwinkle blue ribbon next to her socks. Clutching the ribbon in her fist, she looked at Haley, asleep and unknowing, and made her decision. It was their version of King of the Mountain. They called it Princess of the Castle. But their tree-climbing and ribbon-tying competition had progressed to heights that made her stomach flip-flop. She always chickened out when Haley was watching and listening to Heather's fears. But she was alone now, and determined to take down Haley's red ribbon and tie her own to a higher branch. As Heather scaled the crude nailed board ladder to the gray-painted plywood tree castle and clambered over its crenellated roof, her ash-blonde hair, white t-shirt, and sneakers seemed to glow in the moonlight. As she swung up to the branch that swayed just above the castle, she realized jean shorts had been a mistake. If she wasn't careful, she'd rub her legs raw in the rough tree bark. Too late to go back, she thought. Steeling her resolve, she resigned herself to the difficult climb ahead. Gritting her teeth, she shimmied up the next branch and the one after that. Haley's sleeping, she thought. It's my only chance to beat her. Heather caught a dizzying glimpse of the ground far below, through the canopy of leaves on the majestic oak tree, and her heart seemed to skip a beat. The early stages of the climb had been deceptively simple. Before he'd run off to find himself, their father had built the board ladder to the castle, but he'd never intended or expected his young daughters to climb any higher. Haley had started this game of dare and double dare, and until tonight she'd always won. According to Haley, the trick was not to look down. Easier said than done. The hot summer breezes made the branches click and clatter against each other, all too easy to imagine some clawed jungle animal climbing up after her, stalking her. She had to look down, if only to prove her fears were baseless. From her current vantage point, the tree castle was no longer beneath her, only the ground, 25 feet straight down, with nothing to break her fall. "Stop looking down, you goof." Some branches were so far apart she had to stretch to reach them and pull herself up and over. Haley had made the climb, and they were the same height. No reason Heather couldn't copy her feat. Even so, she'd snagged a hole in the sleeve of her t-shirt and scraped her knee. Another 10 minutes passed before she reached the last branch beneath the red ribbon. Haley had tied the ribbon as far out on the limb as possible, but Heather couldn't remember if Haley had crept out on that branch or if she'd sidled out on the one beneath it. Heather decided on the safer course, edging out along the lower branch, inch by inch, holding on to the one above for balance until she reached her goal. With a shaking hand, she unfastened the knot in the red ribbon, tugging it free at last. She'd never climbed this high before. Tucking Haley's ribbon in her left pocket, she then reached into the right and pulled out her periwinkle blue one. After looping the ribbon around the branch, she paused. "I want to win, not tie." She edged back toward the trunk of the oak and climbed to the next branch. She'd tie her ribbon to the one above that, higher than Haley had ever gone. Heather edged out on the branch that had supported Haley's red ribbon all summer long and reached for the next highest limb. Unfortunately, it wasn't directly above her, so she had to reach forward. As she flipped her blue ribbon over that branch, she felt the one beneath her sway with the warm breeze, springy against her weight. Again, she reached for the higher branch, but she needed both hands free to tie the knot. Just a little farther and she could double knot it. Crack! The branch under her gave way. With a startled scream, Heather lunged forward, reaching for the branch above, but it slipped from her grasp. The ribbon ripped free in her white-knuckled hands as she pitched forward, arms windmilling, falling with the sky above and then below, as she slammed into a branch and spun end over end, a glimpse of the tree castle flashing by her as she plummeted toward the ground, right arm outstretched. Haley Moore sat up in bed, screaming. She cradled her right wrist in her left hand, pressing it to her chest as it blossomed in agony. At first the pain was everything, but soon she sensed something else, something more terrifying. Crying, she staggered into the hallway, right arm against her body. Her mother, in a white flowing nightgown, met her halfway, kneeling before her. "Honey, what's wrong? Was it a nightmare? Did you fall out of bed?" Haley shook her head. "Heather, she's gone, Mom." "What do you mean, gone? She's not in her bed?" "No," Haley said. An image flashed in her mind. "She fell from the tree. She's hurt bad, Mom. But I can't feel her anymore." Belinda Moore took her daughter's shoulders in her hands, her own face pale with terror. "Feel her? Haley, what?" "Inside my head," Haley said, trying to explain. "She's not there anymore." Night replaced a deeper darkness. As she's jarred loose from the sudden crushing pain, a strange awareness blooms within Heather's mind and spirals away, desperate and lost. In the place where she expects to find Haley's comforting presence, there is only emptiness, a growing void. Her questing awareness flares outward, seeking, seeking. Strong sensations of falling, not falling down to the ground, but falling outward, far from her prone body, propelled on her silent scream, now truly silent, distraught, alone. Then she hears another voice, a woman's voice, bellowing in fear. Her mother? She wills herself toward the source of the mental anguish, almost an echo of her own pain, but not quite. The woman's fear is different, consumed with rage, not her mother. Heather feels the heat of the woman's anger and it frightens her. She tries to retreat, but the pull of a different gravity captures her. Her memory, falling past tree branches, flickers away, forgotten. Instead, her darkness erupts in flames, surrounding her in a small, smoke-filled room. As she falls away from a shattered window, she realizes she is in the mind of a burning woman, who is dying, knowing she has been betrayed by her own. Another memory, a 12-year-old boy, a red and yellow gasoline can at his feet, glaring at her with cold, merciless eyes. His lips form a whisper for her ears alone. With the woman's agonizing death, Heather's awareness breaks free and spirals back into comforting darkness, the sacred silence. She wonders about those final words, the whispered death sentence, wonders why, until she can't remember why she wonders. She drifts, she settles, she fades, she returns. She comes and goes and comes again, her awareness cycling like the tide. She never lets go. She fights the pull of forever. But what is forever? Time has no meaning here. Stillness in the dark. Silence. No, she hears her own heartbeat. Slow pull of her breath through her body. She is alive. Not awake. Not asleep. She drifts. And wonders. Textures in the darkness. A nightscape. Where does she begin? Where does she end? She tries to move. She tries to open her eyes. She doesn't know how to begin. She fell. A woman burned. A dream. Fire and pain. Pain equals fire. Burning. A big word. Hallucination. Unreal. Imagine. She imagined the burning woman and the whispering boy. Who are they? Doesn't matter. Trick of the mind. Voices dart around her, comforting sounds, but the only word she recognizes is her own name. Whispers in the darkness, calling her. She wants to answer. She doesn't know how to begin. She drifts. She fades. She returns. Then she knows, and she whispers. See you later, alligator. Haley jumped out of the uncomfortable hospital chair and rushed to Heather's bedside, gripping the cold bed rails in her hands. "Heather, oh my God, you talked. You're awake. I heard you. Please, Heather." "Haley?" Heather's green eyes fluttered open, then she squinted into the bright hospital room light. Her right arm was in a cast. Her head was swathed in bandages. Plastic tubing ran from her left wrist up to bags of clear fluid. "Was I on fire?" "No, silly," Haley said, shaking her head and laughing, tears of joy streaming down her cheeks. She gripped Heather's left hand. "You fell out of our tree." "I fell," Heather said. Her voice was raspy, her throat dry. "Last night?" "A week ago," Haley said. "The doctor said you were in a coma. He said you might never..." "I was so afraid. But you're back now." "Uh-huh." "Why were you playing Princess in the Castle in the middle of the night?" Heather shook her head. "Don't know. I dreamed I was on fire." "I don't remember any dream like that," Haley said, uncertain why that was important to her. "Are you sure?" "Don't know," Heather said, looking around the hospital room distracted. "Where's Mom?" "Went to the cafeteria for soda and snacks," Haley said. "Oh my God, she'll be so happy, I can't believe it. I knew you would wake up. Oh, I should tell the nurses." "Wait," Heather said, reaching up with a trembling arm. Her fingers stroked Haley's damp cheek, as if she needed this reassurance that her sister was real. "I missed you." She swallowed hard. "Felt like I lost you." "I know. I don't want to ever go back to that place." "What was it like?" "Dark and lonely," Heather said. "Empty." Haley shuddered. The words conjured a frightening image of utter isolation, but Haley sensed no more than that from her sister's mind. Sympathy, but not quite empathy. She stared at Heather, overwhelmed, with the joy of having her back, yet she was aware of space between them now. Heather had returned, but a part of her, of them, seemed forever gone. "Don't ever leave me again," Haley whispered urgently. "Never," Heather said with a smile, making a promise she couldn't keep. This ends the prologue excerpt from Kindred Spirit, copyright 2006 by John Passarella, all rights reserved. If you enjoyed this sample of Kindred Spirit, please visit my website at www.passarella.com. That's P-A-S-S-A-R-E-L-L-A. You'll find more information on Kindred Spirit and how to order the book, which will be available in bookstores everywhere June 2006. The free music samples used in this recording, Haunt of Midnight and Jagged Moment, are courtesy of royaltyfreemusic.com. This is John Passarella, signing off. Thanks for listening.